Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of the RTC Weekly Download. Well, this week we start off with Sidney Greenstreet as that huge detective, Nero Wolfe. After that, we have a game show whose host you may know if you are a lover of old-time radio comedy, and that host is Henry Morgan. But first, let's do some detecting with Nero Wolfe.
Ladies and gentlemen, the ringing of that phone bell brings you mystery, adventure.
Nero Wolfe's office, Archie Goodwin speaking. No, I'm sorry, Mr. Wolfe is busy planning a menu. I'll see if he can talk to you. What's the name again? You want to talk to a dame named Mrs. Collins?
Hang up, Archie.
Do we know a Mrs. Collins?
No.
I don't suppose you care, but I think her voice is very charming.
Doubtless. Every female has a charming voice to you. Hang up.
Okay. I'm sorry, Mrs. Collins, but at the moment, Mr. Wolfe is too involved with his digestive system to be interrupted. However, if I may introduce myself, Archie Goodwin, Mr. Wolfe's assistant, if I can be of any help.
Archie.
Yes, Mrs. Collins, I'll ask him. Cocktail party.
Hang up, Archie.
Mrs. Collins, I'm afraid it would be better if you didn't expect Mr. Wolfe. Goodbye. Cocktails. Fooey.
Sad, very absurd.
She says you promised to come to her cocktail party, and why aren't you there?
Because you are going to attend the cocktail party and the probable unpleasant ending.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that genius who is the bulkiest, balkiest, the most ponderous, and most brilliant detective in the world. Yes, none other than that chair-borne mass of unpredictable intellect, Nero Wolfe, created by Rex Stout and brought to you in a new series of adventures over this NBC network in the person of Mr. Sidney Greenstreet.
Mr. Wolfe and I refer to this as the case of the party for death. Nero Wolfe really should have gone to the party since he'd accepted, but I was delegated. I can't complain now since it was there that I met Georgia, the most beautiful redhead. Well, that's my weakness, redheads. Yeah, blondes and brunettes. Well, anyway, Mr. Wolfe was adamant about going to the party.
I've never been to a cocktail party in my life. You know, I drink nothing but beer.
You could take your beer with you, couldn't you?
I could not.
Do we know a Mrs. Collins whose cocktail party you said you'd go to?
The phone rang and I picked it up.
Where was I?
Exactly.
Okay. So a Mrs. Collins with a beautiful, seductive voice conned you into accepting an invitation to a cocktail party that you knew you weren't going to.
Archie.
Yes, Master.
Just a little less sarcasm, perhaps.
Sarcasm?
Call it impertinence, then.
Impertinence, Master?
Exactly. Less of that. Much less.
Okay.
Continue now.
Where was I?
You were reading the duck recipe.
Oh, yes, the duck. Oh, here we are. Dodine de canard. The dodine is one of the oldest dishes in the repertory of French cooking, being mentioned in books of the 14th century. Le Grand Cuisinier de Toute Cuisinie.
Hooey, what time is it, Archie?
Almost 6:30.
Oh, in that case...
You gonna get up?
Here on this card are your instructions, Archie. If you are still alive tomorrow, you may make your report.
I helped the huge bulk that was Nero Wolfe out of his specially built desk chair and walked with him to the elevator that would take him upstairs to his orchids. I stepped back to the desk and found the card which bore my instructions. In his small, perfect handwriting, I read, Mrs. Albert Collins, Empire Towers. Arrive at 7, say I sent you. After the murder, telephone me before the police arrive. At exactly 7, I rang Mrs. Collins' doorbell. Mrs. Collins?
I'm Mrs. Collins.
I'm Archie Goodwin. We talked on the phone a little while ago.
Oh yes. Well, come in, Mr. Goodwin.
Mr. Wolf begs to be excused. At the last moment, he was unable to attend.
Well, I'm glad you could come.
You're not disappointed?
No, I don't think so. I'm rather upset. I'm afraid, Mr. Goodwin, for my life. That's why I called Mr. Wolf. Oh, just drop your hat and coat there, Mr. Goodwin.
May I tell you something, Mrs. Collins?
Well, of course, Mr. Goodwin.
Archie will do.
Archie?
When I spoke to you on the phone, I thought I knew what you'd look like.
And?
You do.
Well, is that good?
It's not bad, Mrs. Collins.
Janie will do.
Janie will do.
Archie, I think it would be best if I say you're an old beau of mine.
From where?
In Hollywood. When I went to Hollywood High School and you went to USC.
Okay, but don't expect me to remember much about it.
I'll be flattered if you remember anything about it. I want you to keep your eyes and ears open. Observe everything tonight. Well, now shall we join the party? Oh, Albert, this is Archie Goodwin. Archie, this is my husband, Albert.
How do you do?
Hello.
And this is Joe Boyce, my husband's partner.
How do you do?
Boyce?
I've told you about Archie, Albert, but well, I guess you probably don't remember, do you?
No, I don't.
When I was in high school and he went to USC.
Oh. Oh, yeah, sure. What'll you have, Goodwin?
I'd like a plain lime and soda.
Oh, not really. A teetotaler now?
Yes, I used to overdo it,
uh-huh.
Remember?
So you knew my wife in Hollywood?
Quite a while ago, though.
Uh-huh. Been here long?
Oh, a while.
Did you and my wife run into each other again just lately?
Yeah.
A few days ago?
About.
Joe Boyce here is my partner, chemical business. Makes this sort of an old home week, doesn't it, Joe?
In a way, Al, I guess it does at that.
Joe knew my wife back in those days, too. And they're still very friendly. Yes. Yes, indeed. You two have got something in common to talk about, haven't you, Goodwin?
Mrs. Collins, you mean? We never knew each other very well.
No? Okay, Goodwin, let it go.
Why, look what I found. A new man. Just what I need. I'm Georgia.
Archie.
Archie, dear, will you fix up my drink, please?
Anything for a lady.
Let's go to the bar, eh, Archie?
I'm determined, Joe. If it were only the money, our only Jane, I might listen.
Oh, Al, can't we talk about it later?
I like talking about it now, Joe.
You're going to be sorry about this, Al.
I am already. But you'll have 20 years or so in prison just being sorry. I've got the papers you forged right here.
You're hysterical, Al. Let's face it. The firm went broke, but I suffered too. So let's forget it.
Yes, Joe. The firm went broke, but you didn't. And I don't think my wife did either. The two of you had everything figured for yourselves. Well, I'm turning the papers over to the DA tomorrow.
Nero Wolf speaking.
Archie, what do you know about this expected murder, if anything?
Has it happened yet?
No, but who's supposed to get killed?
I haven't the faintest idea, Archie.
Then why don't you stop it?
That is impossible. I don't even know who's there.
You want me to tell you?
Not in the least.
How am I supposed to prevent it if I don't know what I'm looking for?
You're not supposed to prevent it, Archie. I don't think you could. I don't think anybody could.
You want to hear what I found out already?
No.
I'll tell you anyway. Collins thinks his wife and his partner Boyce have been stealing his dough, and he's threatening to send Boyce to the clink.
Archie.
Yeah?
You're wasting our time. Go back to the party. There is nothing you can do to prevent the murder. But I want you to be there when it happens.
Now that all the guests have gone, let's sit down here, Georgia.
When Janie was in Hollywood, she must have had more good-looking boyfriends.
Let's get personal about this, Georgia.
Yeah, let's.
When you say good-looking, do you mean me?
I don't mean anybody else, Archie.
You know, I think you're pretty, too.
You'd better not let Jane hear you say that.
You think she'd care?
I thought you knew Jane.
Only slightly. You don't like Jane too well, do you?
Why?
Why? Why what?
Why don't you tell the truth about it? No man as attractive as you ever knew Jane slightly. Either they knew her or they didn't know her. Maybe you think I'm getting a little tipsy.
The idea never occurred to me.
No? Well, it has to me.
Refill your glass?
I'll come with you to the bar.
Well, here's your drink, Georgia. Oh, I find there's no ice left in the ice bucket.
Janie. Hey, Janie, no ice.
Oh, well, I'll get some. Here, give me the bucket.
Mrs. Collins, Janie, I mean.
Yes, Archie.
May I use the phone in the bedroom again?
Oh, of course. Will
you excuse me for a minute, Georgia?
I'm coming with you.
Why don't you just stay here until Jane brings the ice? Well, why don't you go talk to Joe Boyce?
I don't want to talk to Joe Boyce. I don't want to talk to Joe Boyce ever.
Now, look, Georgia.
I'm coming with you, Archie. Is that clear?
Okay, come on.
Here's where the phone is.
I could have found it myself.
You don't want me with you, do you?
Just sit down here on the edge of the bed and listen, if that's what you want to do.
Neil Wolf speaking.
Archie, boss.
Well, Archie, what?
Just a bit of a report.
Go on.
At this moment, I am sitting on the edge of one of two twin beds in the apartment of Mr. and Mrs. Albert Collins. Sitting next to me is a gorgeous redhead named Georgia. Georgia what, dear?
Boyce.
You mean you're the wife of Joe Boyce?
Of course. Didn't you know?
I am sitting next to the gorgeous redheaded wife of Albert Collins' partner, Joe Boyce.
Archie, you annoy me.
From what I just learned, I can see there's another friction going on.
You mean Georgia and Jane?
Yep, fireworks between them. This one no like other one.
Have you anything more to say?
When I call, I was going to ask if there's any reason why I shouldn't come home now.
I wrote your instructions for you, Archie.
After the murder, call you.
Yeah, that's perfectly clear, isn't it?
But what if there isn't any?
And don't call me. Simple, isn't it?
Hello. He hung up.
Archie.
What?
That was a strange conversation.
Do you want me to explain it to you, honey?
What was that business about murder?
Shall we join the party?
Murder. Archie, wouldn't you be surprised if there was one?
Yeah? Who's going to do what and to whom?
I don't know. Maybe I will.
Elucidate, honey. Do you intend to figure as the killer or the corpse?
I don't intend to figure as anything. But you never know. Archie, do you think Jane Collins is better looking than me?
No.
Honestly?
Honestly.
Then what's the matter with me?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Oh, yes, there is. Look, do you want to kiss me?
Well, I'll tell you. When I graduated from Sunday school, I took a vow.
That's what I mean. But if I were Jane, you'd want to kiss me, wouldn't you?
No, frankly, no.
Why not?
Well, when I graduated from Sunday school, I...
Okay, Archie. Let's go back. You boys have such happy faces. Where's Jane?
In the kitchen getting some ice. Where have you been?
With Archie.
Is he an old school chum of yours, too?
Do you care, Joe?
No.
Mr. Boyce.
What?
How much do you weigh?
187. Why?
Then I'll be giving you 5 pounds. Shall we step outside?
This I have got to see.
Shut up. Mr. Goodwin, you seem angry.
Just terribly, terribly hurt.
Would it do any good if I apologized? Today I'm a little upset. If I said anything to offend you, I do apologize. Now, if you still want me to give you a boxing lesson, I'm at your service.
Let's forget it. I'm sorry, too. Jane Collins came in from the kitchen with a bucket of ice cubes, a tray of fresh glasses, and the strapless gown she'd been wearing.
There. I never thought I'd make it. Now I'm going to mix my own drink, and you can take care of yourselves. Ice first. Huh? Whiskey. And soda. It's a simple recipe, isn't it, Archie?
All it needs is the ingredients.
Well, I drink to the ingredients. Nice.
Janie, darling.
What, dear?
Would you mind very much if I took Archie away from you?
Haven't you done that already, dear?
To listen to those girls, you'd think, wouldn't you, Goodwin?
Me, I never think.
What do you do, Archie?
I concentrate.
On what?
On not thinking. I did some serious concentrating on not thinking about Nero Wolf or about the conflict of the partners, Albert Collins and Joe Boyce, about the jealousies of Jane and Georgia. The next 5 minutes hardly seemed an hour. Jane and Boyce murmured to each other. Collins drank, gently but firmly.
Why can't you be honest, Archie? What's the matter with me?
What, Georgia?
You weren't listening, were you?
To every gorgeous word you said.
What did I say?
I want to hear it again, just the way you said it before.
I said, why shouldn't there be a murder? Why not? It's an order.
It's just not considered the thing to do.
Thing to do? Can you think of anything better?
No, frankly.
I can. My glass is empty.
My glass is empty, too. Jane. Jane!
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not much of a hostess, am I? Oh, don't answer that. Oh, you're all empty. But I've only drunk half of mine.
You don't usually drink so slowly, Jane.
Well, I'm just not in the mood tonight. I usually drink faster to keep you from drinking mine. You see, Albert always gulps his and then reaches for mine.
What's the difference?
Well, I'll fix you some fresh drinks, but put my drink over there by you, Georgia, and lay off, Albert. I only had about 3 swallows of it. Besides, you don't need any more.
I suppose we know what dear Jane is going to do, don't we?
Lay off, will you?
Lay off. It's my husband who said that, Archie. Archie, meet my husband, Mr. Boyce. I will now explain why dear Jane took our glasses away to the kitchen when she could have poured a drink right here.
Listen, Georgia, will you...
Mr. Boyce is speaking, Archie. What, Mr. Boyce?
Nuts.
Mr. Boyce says nuts, Mr. Goodwin. What do you say, Mr. Collins?
I think Joe has covered the field.
We were talking, weren't we, Archie?
Possibly.
We were talking about dear Jane. She's got to be always the prettiest, always devastating. Right now, she's putting on a completely new face. And in about 20 minutes, when our tongues are hanging out, she'll come back, all horsed up and bright and smiling, with another tray of drinks.
Yeah, she'll take all night to fix them.
Well, I'm going to get some air on the balcony.
Don't jump off. Al, you're drinking too much lately.
I shouldn't worry you, Joe. Especially now.
When you start drinking, not only your drinks, but everybody else's too, well... Jane's right.
Is that what worries you? Slide Jane's glass down. The ice is all melted.
You see what I mean?
Okay, Joe, let's not be nasty until tomorrow. Good. That gives me an idea. Think I'll propose a toast. Until tomorrow. You know, it may be rather fitting that I should drink a toast from the glass that Janie left. Until tomorrow.
Go! Al. Al? Jane? Janie!
Albert! Oh, Albert.
Nero Wolf speaking.
May I come home now?
Oh, hello, Archie.
I said, may I come home now?
Have you sent for the police, Inspector Kramer?
Of course.
Who was killed, Archie?
Albert Collins.
How, Archie?
I don't know. You were right, though, weren't you?
Naturally. About what?
Murder.
Oh, that. We can talk about it tomorrow. Good night, Archie. Come home when you can.
What do you mean, come home when I can?
You'll be held as a witness, won't you? Try not to wake me with the elevator when you come in.
Well, Inspector Kramer, you've had me here at headquarters for a long while. For quite a long while. Haven't you asked me enough questions?
Goodwin, you say you never saw these people before, Collins or Boyce or their wives. Yet when all the other guests had gone, you were still there.
I guess I just don't know how to say goodbye.
You didn't know they were partners in a chemical company. You didn't know that Boyce had forged a lot of papers with Collins' name.
All I know is what you tell me.
Goodwin.
Yes, sir?
I'm trying to be nice.
Yes, sir.
Now, I know, of course, that you went to that party because Nero Wolf told you to.
Do you?
My question is, how did Wolf know it was going to happen?
Why don't you ask him?
I already have.
He told you?
He says he never heard of Collins or Boyce.
Did he say he'd ever heard of me?
He says he isn't responsible for you or your shady friends. Maybe he knows I found a poison pellet in George's bag.
Inspector, may I make an important call?
Go ahead.
Archie. Confounded light. Hello?
What time is it, Master?
Confound it, Archie.
I'll tell you what time it is. It's a little after 4 a.m. I'm at Central Headquarters, and Inspector Kramer has been chatting with me about my shady friends.
Kramer is a jackass.
Just a second. Pick up the other phone, will you, Inspector? Sorry, Mr. Wolf, what was that you were saying about Inspector Kramer?
I said Kramer is a jackass.
Thank you.
Wait a minute, Wolf!
Oh, eavesdropping, Inspector.
I was just talking about bringing you down here for a little questioning, Wolf.
Phooey.
What's that?
Phooey. It can be spelled in several ways. I spell it P-F-U-I. Phooey.
You think I won't bring you down here as a material witness?
Yes, I think you won't. I think you'd be making a great mistake if you did.
A great mistake? Why?
Because I might not tell you who killed Collins. Then you wouldn't know which one of these people to prefer charges against. Now send Archie home. Even he needs an occasional night's sleep.
What do you think of that? He hung up.
So it seems. Busy? He's probably left the phone off the hook, Inspector. By now, he's probably asleep again.
You know I can go out there, don't you?
Sure you can. More important men than you have tried it. And where are they now?
Goodwin?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to let you go.
I'm sure Mr. Wolf and I are very grateful, Inspector.
You want to know why I'm letting you go?
I know why.
Why?
Because if you're nice and cooperative and don't make too much trouble, Mr. Wolf will solve this case for you and tell you whom to prefer charges against.
Goodwin.
Sir?
Get out.
Thank you, Inspector. Good morning, Inspector. At 3 o'clock the next afternoon, I was rearranging the furniture in Nero Wolf's office while the great man sat behind his desk watching me perspire.
Are you finished now, Archie?
Yeah, I guess so.
And tell me where they sat.
There were two couches, like this, in front of a fireplace. Collins and Boyce were sitting together on one couch. When Georgia and I came in, they were looking at some canceled checks.
Where was Mrs. Collins?
I told you, she was getting ice and fresh glasses.
Why was she getting fresh glasses, Archie? Where were the empty ones?
I don't know. Maybe they were the same ones she brought back washed and polished.
Archie, I trust your powers of observation absolutely. That's why I sent you to Mrs. Collins' cocktail party.
Okay, how did you know there was going to be a murder? If it was a murder.
It was a murder, Archie. But isn't it obvious?
How is it obvious? Suppose Collins slipped a few drops of the poison into his drink himself.
It's very strong, very deadly poison, with a remarkably strong odor.
Like almonds, I know. I smelled it when I picked him up.
Archie, was anything found on the body that might have contained the poison, a fountain pen, whatever?
Not even that.
Inspector Kramer found a poison pellet in Georgia's handbag. He thinks she poisoned Collins' drink.
Say, could be. But it wasn't his drink, it was his wife's. Then Georgia was trying to kill Jane and Collins got it by mistake.
We shall soon see, Archie.
I was expecting a murder because you told me to expect it. I watched every move that everybody made. There is no possibility that Jane's glass, the glass with the poison in it, was tampered with by anybody.
Yes, I believe.
Okay.
Archie, you're sore, aren't you?
Have you ever spent the night with Inspector Kramer? He's really a good man, too. Why did you say he was a jackass?
Because he didn't know who killed Collins.
Do you?
Of course. Is there ever any question about it?
Just a moment, please.
The only trouble is it may be difficult to prove. That's why we are giving this little cocktail party this afternoon with the help of Inspector Kramer. By the way...
Yes?
Call Mrs. Collins and tell her to bring a bucket of ice from her refrigerator.
Why?
Because our refrigerator's broken down.
No, it hasn't. I was just out in the kitchen a minute ago.
Our refrigerator has broken down. And it would be very helpful if Mrs. Collins would bring a bucket of ice cubes.
What makes you think she'll do it?
She will. Call her.
6:45. There we were in Wolf's office doing a repeat performance of last night's smash hit. Two couches faced each other, a cocktail table between them. On one couch, red-headed Georgia and me. On the other couch, it was a big one, Joe Boyce, Jane Collins, widow of the lately defunct Albert, and Nero Wolf.
Jane had been drinking a little slower than the rest of us. Our glasses were empty. Hers was still half full. Wolf said...
Margie.
Yeah?
At this point in last night's party, Mrs. Collins got up and left to get some fresh drinks. Repeat what she said.
Approximately?
Approximately will do.
I think she said something like this. She said, put my drink over by you, Georgia. Lay off, Albert. I've had about 3 swallows of it. Besides, you don't need any more, Albert. Am I right, Jane?
Close enough, Archie. But what of it?
No, what is this nonsense all about, Wolf?
Mr. Wolf is trying to make something out of nothing.
I think Mr. Wolf is going to turn up something mighty interesting. Don't look so perturbed, Joe.
Since I am playing the part of the late Mr. Collins, pass me Jane's glass.
I'll keep my glass, Mr. Wolf. I haven't finished my drink.
You're a very clever woman, Mrs. Collins.
Would it be too much if I ask what this is all about?
What is you, Archie?
You make it sound as if that drink she's holding is poison. But it can't be, because as yesterday, she's already drunk half of it herself.
When our freezer broke down, she was more than willing to bring a bucket of ice cubes, wasn't she?
So?
What would happen, Archie, if you froze a gelatine-coated pellet of poison in the center of one particular ice cube? Mrs. Collins hasn't finished her drink. Notice the ice is all melted now. She hasn't taken one sip since the ice melted completely. She came prepared in case she was exposed. Smell it, Archie.
No, Archie, stand back. I can easily swallow this before you can reach me. Mr. Wolf, in a few seconds, I'll drink it. But tell me something first. Tell me how you knew.
Jane, listen to me.
I knew there was going to be a murder last night because you said so. I knew that it was you who would commit the murder because it was you who invited me. You hoped an expert witness would prove that you couldn't have killed your husband. So I sent Archie Goodwin, whose observations are always exact, even when he doesn't know the import of what he's observing.
She brought back clean glasses. She poured the drinks out of bottles already open. And if anybody had put anything in or touched one of those glasses, I would have seen it.
Exactly. The poison pellet was frozen in a certain ice cube. Mrs. Collins put that cube in her own drink, drank it until the ice had almost melted down to the poisonous pellet center. And then she took all the other glasses away, leaving only hers half full. And as usual, her husband drank it.
No, Jane, don't!
Too late, Joe. Too late.
Well, boss, Jane didn't get away with the suicide try. That was clever thinking you did.
I prepared a cube of ice in which I had frozen a gelatine capsule containing nothing more than a vitamin compound. I substituted for the cube in which Jane had placed the poison for herself.
Wonder why Jane Collins wanted to have Joe. He'd stolen practically all the money in the company. He was just a crook.
Birds of a feather, Archie. I don't believe Joe Boyce had any idea that Jane was planning a murder. And he still had all the money.
Well, the forgeries will put him away for a long time. And poor Georgia could have had it pinned on her if it hadn't been for me.
Yes, yes. You knew all along, didn't you, that Jane had planned to have Georgia accused by planting another pellet of the poison in Georgia's handbag. Jane would have gotten rid of her husband and Joe's wife in one stroke. You knew all that, didn't you?
Well, I... How about a bottle of beer, boss?
Could you spare the time?
Georgia. Beautiful redhead. Wonder where she is tonight.
I'm sure I haven't the slightest idea, but in case you do... Well, just be quiet with the elevator door when you come in.
You have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight's transcribed story by Mindred Lord was based on the characters created by Rex Stout. This is an Edwin Fadiman program, produced and directed by J. Donald Wilson. In the cast were Harry Bartell as Archie Goodwin, and G.G. Pearson, Herb Butterfield, Peter Leeds, Evelyn Eaton, and Bill Johnstone. Next week at this same time, Nero Wolfe and Archie will bring you The Case of the Malevolent Medic. Don Stanley speaking.
Next, we'll hear an episode of Says Who, a game show starring Henry Morgan as host. Now, in the network days, Henry Morgan had a comedy show of his own. But as radio got along in years, there were fewer and fewer jobs of that kind, so Henry Morgan and other comedians took up jobs as hosts. First, let's listen to an excerpt from The Henry Morgan Show, and then we'll listen to an episode of Says Who.
Hello, Hortense. This is Gerard.
Hello, Gerard. This is Hortense.
See, it's nice hearing your voice, Pussyface. What are you doing?
I'm writing in my diary.
Oh.
I'm up till last Friday when we went dancing.
See, it was nice dancing together, wasn't it?
Yeah. Gerard, how do you spell clumsy?
Hortense, you're writing in your diary that I'm clumsy?
Well, Gerard, you're not exactly Fred Astaire.
Well, I'm not Ginger Rogers either, so what's that got to do with it?
Honest, Gerard, I wish you'd take dancing lessons with Arthur Murray.
Nah, I feel silly dancing with a man. Besides, dancing isn't the most important thing in the world. Making a good impression isn't the most important thing in the world.
Then what is?
A struggle for existence.
Gee, Gerard, you're deep. You're the deepest spell I ever knew.
Well, Hortense, I can't help the way I am. I just don't think like other fellas.
You certainly don't. You don't even look like other fellas.
You understand me, Hortense.
You must have been a very interesting child, Yvonne. I mean, when you were a child.
Yeah, I got a picture of me in my family album when I was 3 years old. And I looked very mature.
You did, Gerard?
Yeah. Of course, the glasses helped. Would you like to come over and see my family album tonight, Hortense?
I acquiesce.
Well, it looks like Hortense is stuck. There's nothing more deadly than a family album. And the worst part of it is that people insist on showing the family album to totally peace-loving visitors at the first lull in the conversation. For instance, let's see what happens to this married couple visiting some friends of theirs.
Come on, Henry, ring the bell.
Not me. It's your idea.
Well, what could I say? They invited us.
You could have told them we were typhoid carriers.
Now, what have you got against Gloria and George? So George is a little uncouth when he's drunk. Everybody's got the right to drink.
With George, it's more than a right. It's his whole philosophy.
Oh, nonsense, dear. George has a good heart.
Sometimes I wish he had a bad one.
Henry, ring the bell. Well, they must be in. I hear noises inside.
Probably George rolling down the stairs again.
I'll ring again.
George, it's Henry and Ruth at the door.
Well, give them some old clothes and send them away.
Now, don't be difficult. They're waiting.
Do you think a flower pot might discourage them?
Answer the door or I'll smash this bottle of scotch.
Okay. Nice of you to come.
Nice of you to ask us.
Yeah. You want to sit down or something?
Might as well now that we're here.
Yes, do sit down.
Think we ought to take our coats off first?
That would be nice.
You're looking very well, Gloria. Not so,
fat?
Ruth, I've never seen you look better, really.
Oh, nonsense. I look a sight, don't I now?
Well, how about a drink, everybody?
Great idea. Certainly could use a drink. What's new, George?
Nothing much. What's new with you?
Oh, nothing at all.
What's
nothing.
Well, here's luck down the hatch.
George.
What's the matter?
Give somebody else a drink.
Huh? Sorry. Well, it's nice to have a social drink now and then. You know, my whole philosophy is...
I know.
Well, I'm certainly glad we came.
Yeah, it's been nice having you.
George. Have you seen the latest snapshots of our little boy?
No.
Oh, well, they're very cute. Would you like to see them?
Yeah. Love to.
Good. I'll get the family album. All our pictures are in it. It goes way back to when I was a little girl, quite a while ago.
I know.
Yes. Oh, here's something. An old flame of George's. She was so two-faced.
Well, the one in the picture looks pretty good. What happened, George?
Well, Gloria came along. Her family had money. Oh, well.
Who's this, Gloria?
Oh, that's George at the beach. He's lifting a 200-pound weight over his head. A second later, it fell right on top of him. Hurt him bad.
You got a picture of that?
That's George. He was always such a show-off.
Yeah? About what?
Oh, here's one you'll like. It's a group picture of all my relatives. Look at them all standing there, staring at the camera.
Oh, that reminds me. Ruth, did you feed the dog this evening?
Here's the latest pictures of Danny. Here's one where he's smiling. And here's one where he's waving. He's been waving since he was 4 months.
And must be tired, huh?
Here's another one where he's smiling. Aw, here he's trying to climb out of his playpen. Isn't that adorable?
Yeah.
Here's one when he was 3 in the carriage. Isn't that adorable?
Yeah. Say, you folks don't mind if I whisper something to my wife a moment, do you?
I don't know. Go right ahead.
Say, Ruth, I have an idea. Which one's the whisper of play, folks? All right, folks. How would you like to see some pictures of our kid?
Well, it's getting late.
Yeah, well, good night.
Yeah, good night. Good night.
Can you identify this voice?
Have you ever been in heaven? Well, I was last night.
In the next half hour, you will hear the voices of some of the world's best-known personalities on radio's newest, most exciting, fun game, Says Who. Yes, it's time for Says Who. And here's the star of Says Who, Henry Morgan.
Hooray! Thank you. Thank you very kindly, and good evening. We have an interesting panel ready to play Says Who. Before I introduce them to you, let's listen to these words of interest.
Hey, what do you think of my new swept wing 58 Dodge, Ernie? Ain't she a beaut?
Boy, that's really a big car.
Big? I'll say she's big. I'll stay here by the grill, and you go take a look at those swept wing fins at the rear.
Okay. Saw.
Come on back by the door. I'll show you the inside.
Okay.
Now look inside.
Wow, this Dodge is big inside.
Look how wide the seats are.
Who are those people in here?
The neighbors. I'm charging them $1 an hour to sit there. Come on.
Wow, you really got a lot of car here.
And with all this, Dodge is priced below 59 different models of the low price field. Hey, you want to go for a ride?
Let me sit down a minute. I'm exhausted.
And now let's meet our panel. First, Joey Adams.
Well, good evening, everybody.
And next, Dagmar.
Hello, everybody.
And Orson Bean.
You know, from right to left, this panel looks like an egg sandwich.
You're a nice-looking slice of bread. And that is our panel.
Panel, I know you know the rules, but what can I do? We play a voice which you try to identify. The listener suggesting the voice gets $15. If you fail to come up with the right answer, we send the listener a Benrus wristwatch. Now, in case the voice goes by too fast for you, you have the text of what is said on a card in front of you. Let's play a little old says who. The first voice was suggested by Frieda Marie Fruchting of Hudson, New York.
Zadiginian Irwin, 385 Broadway. Zadikoff John, 4646 Audubon. Zadikoff Jack, 200 West, 94. Zadikoff Anna, Mrs., 310 Dykem Street.
May we have the offstage announcer identify that voice, please?
That voice belonged to the well-known actor Vincent Price. The panel doesn't know that Mr. Price is backstage and can hear everything they say.
Very interesting. All right, panel. Let's play a little says who. Joey Adams, why don't you start?
Well, it sounds like an undertaker taking orders.
On a good day.
It's a roll call of some kind?
Yeah, in a way.
An honor roll?
No.
An onion roll?
What do you call an onion roll?
Well, this fella sounds very sad, Henry. Is he an unhappy kind of a guy?
You mean day in and day out, or just when he was doing this?
Well, I mean, is this indicative of anything about him personally?
No.
When I say indicative, I'm using the subjunctive.
I was following you with the apparative.
I never know what they're talking about.
Now, this man, is he sad as a person?
I don't think so.
Is he sad in what he was doing here?
I guess it unnerved him a little.
Does it have anything to do with what he's reading here?
No, it has nothing to do
with it. Reads everything starting with Z.
It could be. Dagmar, you're on.
Does he ever wear a uniform?
Not to my knowledge.
Is this man in show business?
Yes.
Is he an actor?
Yes.
Is he a movie star?
Yes.
He's not in sports, then. He is in show business.
Hmm?
I was hoping it was Joe DiMaggio or somebody like that.
Because he's an actor and he's in show business? That's a nice hope, dear.
Well, is this a young man?
Can I tell you something, Dagmar? You're talking and I don't understand you at all.
Well, I just wanted to see how it felt, honey. Is this man about 35 or 50?
That's right.
Is he a leading man?
In the sense that what?
Well, is he the star of the picture or is he the second lead?
Which picture, dear?
Whatever one I'm trying to think of. Does he do musicals?
I don't think so, and we go to Orson B.
Does he always like to read the phone book?
You're right, that was from the phone book.
And he must have felt strong that day because he opened it way down at the end. I think I know Irwin Zagabudian. Can I take a wild guess?
You might as well.
The voice sounded familiar. It's not Vincent Price.
Yes, it is. And here he is. Hello, Vincent. Mr. Price, you will forgive me if I send $15 to Frieda Marie Fruchting of Hudson, New York?
I will.
That's a relative of Irwin Zagabudian.
And I must say, I thought that was awfully nice of you to do the telephone book for us. I don't think it's going to be the hit record of all time.
No, I saw Jack Benny do it a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah? Where?
He did it on a TV show. I thought it was a great piece of material.
The phone book? Yes, I was out that night.
I saw that. It was good, Vince. It was so nice to see you, dear.
Then you are very kind in joining our panel. Let's play a voice for you and see how this thing works out. Ladies and gentlemen and panel, the voice you heard at the beginning of the show is this one, and it was suggested by Mrs. Margaret Shirey of Beavertown, Pennsylvania.
Have you ever been in heaven? Well, I was last night.
May we have our offstage announcer identify that voice, please?
The singer you just heard was none other than one of baseball's all-time greats, the Yankee Clipper, Joe DiMaggio.
True. Let's play a little old says who, and Dagmar, dear, let's start with you.
Was he singing this song in front of an audience?
Not really.
Was he alone on the stage when he sang it?
No.
Was he singing to a girl?
Gee, I don't know.
Did he do this in a movie?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Does he play romantic leads?
Yes.
Does he usually wear a hat over one eye?
You mean out in the street?
No, when he's working in a movie.
No, not when he's working in a movie, he doesn't.
He doesn't play gangster movies?
I don't think so. And we
I thought maybe it was Victor Mature. I thought it might be Victor Mature.
Does he wear a hat over one eye?
Yes.
Victor Mature wears a toga over one eye.
Well, I didn't know how to say it. Thanks, sweetie.
I wouldn't recognize him without his sheet.
Missed that picture with the hat. Orson Bean.
Is this fellow a professional singer?
No.
No, he was an actor who sang in this one picture? He was an actor.
Well, to tell you the truth...
He was a personality.
That's right.
But not primarily an actor?
Not primarily.
Was this a short feature?
He was... No, it was a full-length picture.
He wasn't one of the Three Stooges or something?
No, he's a personality.
I see. Did he make... He didn't make a lot of pictures, then, I take it.
No.
Well, I mean, somebody like Will Rogers... No, he was an actor. Will Rogers was
He was
an
sort
actor.
Of an actor, yeah.
This fellow, was he a politician?
No. And we go to Vincent Price.
Was this man famous for playing in a musical on Broadway with one leg?
Could you give me the name of a musical with one leg?
I saw one last night, but this was another one. This was called Knickerbocker Holiday a long time ago.
No, Vincent, I try very hard not to mislead anyone. He was essentially a personality.
A personality, uh-huh.
In the sense, in this picture, that is.
He was never a politician?
No.
I mean, who left politics for show business?
No, nothing.
Or vice
of that.
Versa, you know, like
no,
John
none
Cabot
of that.
Lodge.
None of that stuff, no.
Has he ever worked nightclubs?
Not to my knowledge.
He doesn't sing professionally, that's obvious.
All right, on that obvious note, we go to Joey Adams.
What's obvious about that?
You're usually the one who criticizes singing.
Well, I like his singing.
You do?
Yeah, not for a human being. But this fella is a singer, and it was a full-length picture?
No. I didn't say he was a singer.
It was he a sang in a full-length picture.
Yeah.
Didn't they make it into a short?
They would have been well advised.
He's not an actor. He's not a singer. He's a personality. Is he an entertainer?
No.
Is he of the sporting world?
Yes.
As a sportsman or a sporting personality, did he become an entertainer only because he was a great figure in sports?
Yes.
Football?
No.
Baseball?
Yes.
Baseball figure.
Right.
Is he popular today as an actor or in show business?
Let's say this way. He's well-liked.
A well-liked baseball player. Is he still active as a ball player?
No.
He's not active as a ball player. Was he in the outfield?
Yes.
Is he living?
Yep.
A living outfielder. I know him.
Of course you do.
It's on the tip of my tongue, and I'm not going to let Dagmar read it either.
Joe DiMaggio?
Oh, shut up.
Dag, how did you ever get to read the tip of Joey's tongue?
Just lucky, I guess.
I guess so. There's a lot of braille operating here. Well, that sends $15 to Mrs. Margaret Shirey of Beavertown, Pennsylvania. You see, Vincent, what a gyp game this is,
I
basically.
See.
And you see how honest I try to be?
Yes.
We'll get back to the game in a minute. In the meantime, here's something for coffee drinkers everywhere. Listen to this.
Hello, folks. This is Price Right, your shopping reporter, about to welcome the 1,000th customer here at our new store in Sunken Heights. And here she comes. Congratulations, madam.
Step aside, Buster. You're blocking traffic.
You don't understand. I'm from the network.
Network, Schmetwork. There's a big introductory sale in there on decaf.
Yes, madam. Now, if you'll just tell us your name, I'll...
Look, decaf, there's a sale. 10 cents off the regular size jar, so move.
But, Mrs. Decaf, this will only
Look,
take...
Look, I'm not decaf. It's the coffee. Nestle's decaf. D-E-C-A-F. You know, the feel wonderful coffee. 97% caffeine free.
Yes, yes. Well, Mrs. Decaf, did you
Look,
know
just
that...
step aside and we'll forget the whole thing.
But I'm trying to...
I'll scream.
Oh, madam, really, you wouldn't. No.
Help!
Yeah, no, please!
Yes, new instant decaf is something to shout about. Try decaf coffee now while you get 10 cents off the regular size. Supplies are limited, so hurry. Save 10 cents on decaf at your grocer's now.
All right, panel, this voice was suggested by Ben Blakeney of New York City, New York.
Oh, Pa. Let us get this over and forget it. I can't forgive myself for having made the whole house miserable over a tankard of porter.
May, we have our offstage announcer identify that voice.
That was one of Hollywood's most famous names, Norma Shearer.
Let's play a little old says who, and Orson Bean will start with you.
Say, the crowd is abuzz. Is this from a Vitaphone feature?
You're pretty close. Pretty close.
This girl was a leading lady, I presume. Absolutely. She sounds kind of lovey and all like that. Like she might have been making love to William Paul or one of them splendid fellas.
We'll go to Vincent Price and see, does this thing fall apart?
Well, I must say the dialogue sounds like it was a silent picture. But it didn't. was it a costume picture?
It was of its period.
Was she a drunkard in the picture?
No, this lady made the whole picture sober.
She made the... Oh. And she got an Academy Award for it, that's for sure.
I'm not even sure they had Academy Awards then.
Was this girl a beauty?
Yes. And we go to Joey Adams.
She says, I can't forgive myself for having made the whole house miserable over a tankard of porter. Did she spill it?
No, she drank it.
That's
then
what
she
I
was
asked.
The porter that got tanked. Is that it?
No, Vincent, you can drink a tank of porter without being a stiff, you know.
Just a minute, you're talking to me.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. You can
can't
drink
you?
A tank of porter.
You're talking to me, and you're answering him. I don't get it.
He shows you what a two-faced guy I am.
I like them both, though, Henry. Now, let's get to this. Would I distinguish her from any other actress? In other words, was she the kind of a girl who played all dramatic, heavy parts, like with long tankards and things, or whatever it is? Was she a bright, gay girl, like what I know from a certain mannerisms, or way, or a caricature, or a face, or something that hung down, or stood up, or anything?
Yes, and we go to Dagmar.
Go ahead, now read my lips.
All right, I'll do that. Did she ever play in a movie where the court sent her to the guillotine?
Just a moment. I have to speak to my lawyer. Joey, what does your friend mean?
She means margarine.
No, a guillotine. I don't like to say it because they chop their heads off. It's an ugly picture.
Uh-huh.
Did she ever play in a picture like that?
In a guillotine?
Where they sent her to the guillotine?
I don't think so, Dag.
Is she a tall girl?
Oh, she did. My information service
See
is
there?
Flowing. She did have a guillotine.
See there? I did get from the tip of your tongue. Is she a tall girl with high cheekbones?
Just a minute now. She's a medium-sized girl with medium-high cheekbones.
I know a tall girl with a short build. Is that anything?
She's built shorter after the guillotine.
Henry, it's margarine.
No, it's guillotine.
That makes it slippery. Guillotine. And we go to Orson Beam.
Was this girl in A Tale of Two Cities?
Was this girl in A Tale? No.
How many pictures with a guillotine was there?
This girl happened to be in a guillotine picture. Boy, am I tired of that word. I'm tired of the picture, and I'm pretty tired of the girl, too. Vincent Price. And
did
see
she
what
play in a... She's retired now.
Yes, she's retired.
Yes, and did she... She was a very good actress, I think. She was a beauty, too, but she was a better actress than she was a beauty.
Right.
She played in a picture called Marie Antoinette.
She did that.
And her name was Norma Shearer.
Absolutely.
It was that guillotine that gave it away to me, you know.
Well, just
you're
the same.
Great.
You're great, Dag.
Thank you, darling. You're so right.
Mr.
She might be the only woman who could confound the guillotine, you know.
We've been here 36 weeks. Vincent Price comes in and guesses the first one. Who needs him?
I'll tell you the truth. We do. Which sends $15 to Ben Blakeney of Guillotine, New York.
Guillotine.
If you folks at home would like to suggest a voice for Says Who, here's Hal Sims to tell you how you can do it.
Simply write your name and address and the mystery voice you suggest on a postcard and mail to Says Who, CBS Radio, 485 Madison Avenue, New York 22. In case of duplication, the card bearing the earliest postmark will be chosen. Please remember, only postcard entries are eligible and only one entry on each postcard. If we use your suggested voice, you'll receive $15. If the panel fails to come up with the right answer, you'll receive a Benrus wristwatch. All entries become the property of CBS Radio. If you'd like tickets for our show, just write to CBS Radio, 485 Madison Avenue, New York 22, New York. Now back to Henry Morgan.
All right, Hal. Okay, panel. This voice was suggested by Mary Hollingsworth of Columbus, Ohio.
Well, I'm still trying to be one.
Although I'm getting a little old now, and joints are getting a little creaky as I go around the joints, and I don't do as much chasing.
May we have the offstage announcer identify that voice, please?
You were listening to the voice of Earl Wilson, whose popular column appears in the New York Post and other papers throughout the country.
Anybody want to play a little old says who? Joey Adams, why don't you start, kid?
This man with the creaky joints, has he ever been arrested?
It's possible, but I never read of it.
Does he mean by joints illegitimate places?
I don't think so.
Would this guy be creaking in my house?
Well, these days, he'd be creaking almost anywhere he went. According to him, that's what he says.
Well, would he come to your home?
If invited.
Would you invite him to your home?
Yes.
Then I would invite him to my home.
No.
Why, we got the same mutual people that we like, and yet still we don't like. And if you don't want him, I don't want him.
I was looking at it the other way. I was figuring he'd come to my house, but, oh, well.
You have a nicer house, Henry.
I'll be glad to clean it up.
Your house?
No, my joints.
And we go to Dagmar.
When he's in joints, does he do what he does in front of everybody?
How's that?
Well, you're talking about joints, but I'll tell you something. Does this man always have a lot of pencils with him?
You're going to tell me something? Does this man have a lot of pencils with him?
Yes.
He has pencils with him.
And he travels around quite a bit. I recognize that man's voice. I'm pretty sure I knew who this man is. This man writes a column.
Yeah.
For the Post.
Does he sell
pencils? This man is a very dear friend of mine. I adore him madly, and it's Earl Wilson.
You're absolutely right. Joey?
He's been in my home many times.
I know it, Joey. He told me, and he's pretty tired of your house.
He's been in my house, Henry. Try to sell me some pencils.
He is a darling fellow. I love Earl.
Do you?
And his wife,
get rid of those freaks.
Benson, do you care to make a remark about Earl before we...
I thought it was Gary Cooper, so...
You get one more laugh, I'm warning you.
Joey, hold it. Sends $15 to Mary Hollingsworth of Columbus, Ohio. Here's a dinger. Each week, we give people at home a chance to play Says Who. We play a voice, the panel asks a couple of questions, and you take it from there. If you think you know whose voice it is, you're asked to mail us a postcard. Let's listen to just a portion of the voice we played for you last week.
I remember that it happened in the moonlight, and I'll never know exactly how or why.
That was the voice of an all-time favorite in show business, Charlotte Greenwood, and the card we received with the right answer and bearing the earliest postmark belonged to William J. Weiss, P.O. Box 61, San Mateo, California. Very good work, Doc. Your $25, which isn't much, but it's nice, isn't it, is on its way. Now, here's another chance for everybody at home to play Says Who. Listen to this voice.
Though the mayor could no longer be seen, you could hear him yelling, "It's a trap! Run for your lives!" Krugelmaus leaped from the top of the cheese right down into the crowd, shouting, "It's a trap!" And even though Hannibal and the professor pulled the mayor out of the hole almost immediately, he too leaped into the crowd, yelling, "It's a trap! A man-made trap! Run for your lives!" And the mice ran in all directions.
This is for people at home. We can't identify the voice, but maybe, panel, you could give people at home a few clues. Vincent, do you want to try?
Well, does this man draw for a living, or did he start out as a draftsman, a cartoonist?
He may have. I wouldn't know.
That's a great answer.
That gives you can't me find no more clue. Honest answers.
I know.
Look, Vincent, if you want wonderful answers, go back on the $64,000 thing. We go to Joey Adams.
Vincent, this is the only program where the quizmaster knows less than the quizzer.
Well, it does give it a certain charm, doesn't it?
Not quizzes, I should say quizzes.
Quizoo.
I'm a quizzee if you're the quizmaster, right?
Exquisite.
All right, this man is in show business.
Sir?
I beg your pardon?
Oh, I thought... I thought I'd said something.
Is he in show business?
You bet.
Is he an actor?
You bet. Well, you are.
Does he do voices?
Mainly his, and we go to Dagmar.
Does this man ever read...
He mainly does his voice?
Well, yeah, mainly.
Does he write children's books?
No.
He doesn't.
And I think, really, at this point, since we've given people at home so much help that they can barely stand anymore...
I think you're right.
This is going to be guessed by somebody who knew the voice. That's about the size of it. And I'm afraid that's as far as we ought to go. Now, if you think you know the right answer, would you write it on a card and put down your name and address and mail it to Says Who? Contest, Post Office Box 2150, Grand Central Station, New York 17. The correct answer with the earliest postmark wins $25. Remember, only postcard entries are eligible. You must mail your card no later than midnight this Wednesday. Duplicate prizes will be awarded for ties and good luck. Panel, let's try another one before my voice gives out. Next week, you'll have to guess who I am, if I live. This voice was suggested by Richard G. Polk of Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania.
And one of our friends said to Congressman Judd, you know what's the matter with you Americans? And Congressman Judd was, of course, interested, and he said, now tell me, what is it? He said, you are too aggressively friendly.
May we have the offstage announcer identify that voice, please?
The voice you heard was that of General Carlos Romulo, former president of the Philippines.
Very interesting little round this time. And Dagmar, would you start it, old girl?
He sounds as though he's from a foreign country, so I'll ask, is he an American?
No. Wait. Well, that's all right. That made
sense.
That's
all right, sure.
Thank you. Does he spend a lot of time in America?
Yes, he does.
Is he from India, that man, Chris Menuhin?
You want to go back to the guillotine for a minute? Chris Menuhin?
Yes.
No, dear. And we go to Orson Bean.
Is he an ambassador of some kind?
Sort of.
Is this fella from India?
No.
Is he from Russia?
No, sir.
Is he from behind the Iron Curtain?
No, he ain't.
Does this program go behind the Iron Curtain?
They may slip it under.
Because I was going to say lots of luck.
Yeah, I know that we'll do anything to confuse him. Can you imagine this thing in Moscow? Oh, boy. We'd be shot on the way in.
They'd adore us.
They'd adore you, dear, because in some things they have great taste. Vincent?
This man is not an actor.
No.
He was in ambassador work, but he wasn't employed by the government, was he? As a sort of ambassador of goodwill?
No.
No, bad will, huh?
Well, when he was working for us, he wasn't an ambassador.
He wasn't. Was he a liquor salesman?
No.
This is completely irrelevant.
That's
right.
I pass. You pass, and we go to Joey Adams.
He talks about the Americans being aggressively friendly. He's a foreigner. He came to America as an ambassador. One of the South American countries?
No.
Connected in any way with that type of country?
In a way, let's say that where he comes from, they share lots of things in common with some of our South American neighbors.
That's very clear.
Yeah. I wanted to make that easier.
Is he like the Philippines or any of those kind of countries?
Yeah.
The Philippines, yeah, or the other kind of countries?
The Philippines, see.
The Philippines, see?
That's a cleaned up, yeah.
Well, there's only one man that I know is an ambassador from the Philippines that came to America that was employed here as a member of the UN.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos Romulo?
That's right.
All
right. Very good, old Joe. And that sends $15 to Richard G. Polk of Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. And here's a message of importance.
When you come down with a real cold, isn't it a nuisance to have to buy aspirin, plus nose drops, plus cough syrup? Ever wish there was one medicine to relieve all those nasty cold miseries? Well, listen. Today, a remarkable new liquid medication can take the place of all three. The benefits of all three are now combined in one great new medicine to bring you faster, more thorough relief of cold distress. It's new four-way liquid cough and cold medication. Yes, now four-way liquid can give you more complete relief than any single-purpose remedy. Almost at once, its modern medicines can make you feel better all over when you have a cold. Four-way liquid can open stuffed-up nose, soothe sore throat, ease cough, relieve headache and body pains. Remember, it's already liquid, instantly ready to speed wonderful relief throughout the body. And it contains exclusive Rhinosec. That's why Four-Way Liquid can bring more relief, faster relief of cold miseries. Today, get new, pleasant-tasting Four-Way Liquid cough and cold medication. Henry?
And that winds up this week's show. We hope you enjoyed playing Says Who. We hope you can come around again next week at the same time. Now here to say goodnight is Joey Adams.
Henry, good night, and good night, everybody.
Dagmar?
Good night. I hope you feel better, and good night, everybody.
Thanks, dear. Orson Bean?
Good night, Henry.
And we'd like to thank Vincent Price for joining our panel this evening. Good night, Vincent.
Good night. I think it would be a smash behind the Iron Curtain.
And this is Henry Morgan. Good night, anybody.
Says Who was created by Sidney Resnick, directed by Dick Stenta, and produced by Mike Oppenheimer for Frank Cooper Productions in cooperation with CBS Radio. A serious crisis looms at the very top of our educational system. Like to know what you can do about helping our colleges and other institutions of higher learning get the buildings, equipment, and personnel they so desperately need? Write to Higher Education, Box 36, Times Square Station, New York 36, New York. That's Higher Education, Box 36, Times Square Station, New York 36, New York. America listens most to the CBS Radio Network.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.